Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. As you're turning there, I'd like to kind of review where we've been in the book of Romans. Chapter 1 opens up, verses 1 through 12. Paul describes us as a holy people. We've received grace. We are called. We're beloved. We have peace with God the Father. And our faith is spoken of throughout the world. Verses 13 through 17, kind of the theme of Romans, talks about the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith or faith alone. In verse 17, then the next section of chapter 1 talks about how we have a guilty world, that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all mankind, specifically those who do not know there is a God. Continuing on in chapter 2, verse 1, God condemns the religious individual, the one that thinks he's better than the ungodly, but he's still condemned guilty before God. And then the end of chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, is the disobedient, the Jewish people. They're also condemned before God if they don't have faith alone. Then chapter 3, Paul opens up how that all mankind is guilty before God. In verse 10, he says here, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. And then in verse 19, he says here, it saith to them who are under the law that their every mouth may be stopped, and all the world they become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so these first three chapters, remember, God, through Paul, is painting a picture that all mankind is sinful, and no individual can be justified by works, but there's a righteousness we can attain by faith alone. But verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And verse 21, then chapter 4, Paul's speaking to those who were Jewish in Rome. He opens up in chapter 4 and goes on about Abraham. Abraham was justified in verse 2. By the works, was Abraham justified by the works? He hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and it was before circumcision in verse 10. But also, through him, all mankind would be blessed if they follow in Abraham's faith in verse 13. Then, a few weeks back, chapter 5, the key word was peace. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access. We glory in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. And then God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And to begin to see Paul's transition from all mankind is guilty before God, how that the Jewish people were trusting in individuals' works, but it was not his works, it was his faith. But only by our faith, verse 1, therefore being justified by our faith, we have peace with God. End of chapter 5, verses 11 through 21, was a contrast again of Adam and Jesus. For one man's offense, all mankind became sinful, but also by Jesus' sacrifice, we all have life. Then last week we looked at the newness of life with the key word of walk in newness of life. Verses 1 through 13 last week we looked at, actually 2 weeks ago. And as we're looking though at chapter 6, there's three key words we find in this passage. It is to know, to reckon, and to yield. And so in this section of chapter 6, 7, and 8, Paul is going to explain how to be spiritual. And here in chapter 6, he says here, three times you need to know, and then you need to reckon, and then three times he says you need to yield. And so we've already looked at that 2 weeks ago about how we can know and reckon. But this evening, he's going to focus in on being yielded to the new life by God. And so, just highlighting a few things we looked at last week. Verse 1, Paul declared that the lost were making an assumption that if they don't follow the law, that we can continue to sin. Paul responds in verse 2 that God forbid that we should continue in sin. Verse 3, for we died to sin. And then verse 4, we were buried with him. And then verse 5, that we were planted together in likeness of his death. Then verse 6, the second knowing here, verse 3 and now verse 6 here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should serve sin, we should not serve sin. So sin and its control has been destroyed. Verse 7, we have freedom, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, one day our hope of heaven. Verse 9, we are alive forevermore, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more control or dominion over him. Then verse 10, for he that died, died unto sin, that he that might liveth unto God. And so Jesus died once. Likewise, here's the reckon. So verses 3, 6, and 9 are knowing. Verse 11 here, likewise reckon or count or number. You also yourselves to be dead unto sin. And then verse 12, don't let sin master you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't allow it to continue, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. But verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. If you think about this verse here, verse 13, we talked about how many of you in the auditorium here can play instruments, but the instrument in and of itself cannot create music. Only as it is played by someone. The same way we are instruments in God's hands. And as we know, as we reckon, and as we yield here, God can use us to glorify himself as we die to our sinful nature, yield. Instead of yielding to our sinful nature, we yield to his spirit. He can then produce something beautiful in and through our vessels. And then verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion or control over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And that's where we wrapped up last week. This evening, we're going to continue on through and finish chapter 6 here. But As we're thinking about chapter 6 through the end of the chapter, the main theme this evening, so last couple weeks ago as we looked at beginning of chapter 6, was walk in newness of life. As you know, as you reckon, and as you yield, this evening, the key word here he's going to emphasize again is yield. Yield your life to the Lord. And so let's open a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Romans, how it explains how our relationship to our sinful nature, relationship to the Spirit, how that you have conquered the control of sin in our life. But daily we have a choice, either to yield, go back into slavery and yield to our sinful nature, or choosing to follow the Lord and yield to his Spirit so that he can use us as an instrument of his glory and honor. And as we go this lesson this evening, help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So verse 15, it says here, what then shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace, God forbid. And so imagine Paul here speaking to Jewish people who were in the Church of Rome. The Jewish people had over 800 commands in the Old Testament, and it was a burden to them. The law in and of itself was not sinful, but it manifested and made them realize their sinfulness, condemned them. And Paul is emphasizing over and over again in the book of Romans, the law didn't bring righteousness, but Jesus did. Jesus brings his righteousness and he gives it to us. And over again in the book of Romans, he says here, what then shall we sin? As a believer in Jesus, why do we continue to sin? Why didn't God allow us just to understand the gospel and take us right away home to heaven? Well, he wants to make us instruments of his righteousness. So when the world looks upon us, they see more and more of God's righteousness in and through us. But sadly, we as believers still have a sinful nature. And last we looked at how that it's in our mortal bodies. In this life, we will always have a sinful nature. And our sinful nature wants to drag us back to that slavery. He wants us to yield to him. And we struggle with the way we determine to yield, whether to yield to our sinful nature or yield to the Spirit. And so Paul is talking about this subject again here in verse 15. He says, what then shall we sin? Sin today, tomorrow, these individual acts of sin because we are under the law or but under grace, God forbid. In this passage also we find 8 times the word servant. Shall we serve sin? And Paul responds by saying, absolutely not. And he responds also in verse 16, no. Remember that key word, no, ye not, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So when we are born into this life, we were in bondage. We were controlled by our sinful nature. But by faith in Jesus, he has broken our bondage. He has given us freedom. But yet we still have a sinful nature. And sadly, many Christians continue to yield to that sinful nature because they don't know, they don't reckon, and they don't yield to the proper place. And he says here, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve two masters. And so it's emphasizing here that you can't both love sin and also love God. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." And so these individuals who Paul is speaking about, they have heard the gospel. They have by faith trusted in Jesus. And that form of doctrine was delivered to them. They changed masters. At one time, they were a master to sin. Their master was sin. And they were controlled by sin. But now our master is God. We've surrendered to him. You once were controlled by sin and you served sin. But now you have a new master. But think about these key words here: to know, to reckon, and to yield. In order to know, you must read and hear. These individuals had read God's word. They had heard the message from believers. The idea of reckon is to count or to number, to consider. They, by this form of doctrine, they believed in Jesus. And they were, it says here, which was delivered to you or transferred to you. These individuals were believers, but yet they continued to serve sin. They didn't have to serve sin. They were not controlled like their old life. But yet, voluntarily, they serve sin. And that's what our choice each day. We have a choice to voluntarily serve sin. We don't have to sin. We have understood the gospel. We have a new master, and we're not controlled any longer by sin. But we choose to voluntarily go back to sin. And then verse 18, here it says, "Being made then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." This is the idea that two masters, you either have one or the other. You either serve sin and unrighteousness, or you serve the Lord, and he produces righteousness in and through you. Then being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. And then verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh." The infirmity here is our weakness. And Paul is giving here a human analogy that after the manner of men, we all are weak. Our flesh is weak. Our humanity is weak. "For as ye have yielded your members to the servants of uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity." This idea of uncleanness is immoral impurity. And iniquity to iniquity is greater and greater lawlessness. And the idea here, again, this key word, as you were have yielded, you're desiring to feed that old sinful nature that God has abolished in your life. And as you continue to feed that sinful nature, it becomes hungrier and hungrier. Once you get that taste, it begins to control you again. And so Paul is emphasizing how that we are weak in the flesh. But God, if we would reckon, know, and yield, instead of yielding and serving sin, we can yield to the Spirit and become instruments of righteousness. And he says here, your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. So yield to the Holy Spirit, he says here. And then verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. We could do nothing that was righteous in God's sight before we came to faith in Jesus. We were full of wickedness. We could only serve sin. But now God has broken that bondage of sin. Now we are free of sin, and we can be used of the Lord to perform righteousness if we yield to the Spirit. He says here in verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you now are ashamed? So as believers were coming to Christ, understanding they were broken of the bondage of sin, but yet voluntarily going back to the slavery of sin, he says here, they were embarrassed of their sin. They knew they should not be given in to sin. They were ashamed, embarrassed. It was destructive in their lives, and they could see their wickedness, and others could see it as well. This fruit, though, is the benefit of the believer. Slaves produce sin, but in the life of the believer, God produces righteousness. For the end of those things is death. And so they were continuing to give themselves back voluntarily to their sinful nature instead of yielding to the Spirit. And he says here in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. And so God wants to bring the fruit of righteousness in and through you. So we are free from sin. We are set free. John chapter 8 emphasizes how that we are free, free indeed, and become servants of God. Instead of servants to our sin, we are servants to God. And you have the fruit, the product, unto holiness and sanctification, and the end everlasting life. And so if we would, instead of yielding to our sinful nature, we would yield to God, become his servants. The first product is produced is the fruit of righteousness in and through us. Our instruments produce by the Spirit his love, joy, and peace in our lives. And the end is everlasting life. For those who are true believers have the Spirit, the sealed by the Spirit, they have everlasting life. And then verse 23, as we close here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many of you have memorized this verse. Paul is mentioning here the wages or the payment for sin. It's believed to be a military idea here of the commander paying his soldiers. The payment for sin is death. But God's gift, one is earned, the other is undeserved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul here in this message here this evening, he's encouraging believers to know. You can't know unless you first read God's word and hear the preaching of his word. Many people claim to be Christians, yet they don't read God's word. They don't assemble themselves together with other believers. and they're controlled by the sinful nature. But you need to know, then you need to reckon, to analyze, to consider. Think about as we pray, we begin to have the mind of our Lord, and then to yield. Each day as we wake up, we can either manifest our sinful nature, serve sin, and go back to bondage and slavery, or we can surrender and yield to the Spirit, who then produces righteousness in and through us. And as we read God's word, He's able to give us understanding. He renews our minds. As we pray, we talk back what the Lord has told us. It's our way of reckoning, understanding. And then daily, we need to yield, not to our sinful nature. We've been freed from the slavery of sin. Instead, God wants us to yield to His Spirit so that He can make us instruments of righteousness to the rest of the world. So we need to know, to reckon, and to yield. So we close in a word of prayer. Maybe all of our desires that we would renew our minds. And each day as we wake up, we'd pray and we recognize everyone in this room is capable of sinning. We can be controlled by sin again if we yield to our sinful nature. Let's not be prideful, but recognize we're vulnerable and we need to yield instead to the Holy Spirit so that He can produce righteousness in and through us. Father, thank You for Your word of God. Thank You for the book of Romans, how it encourages us to know, to reckon, and to yield to You. Thank You that You have freed us from the bondage of slavery to sin and serving sin. We now have the freedom to renew our minds, to pray, to understand Your truth, and to yield to Your Spirit